The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Welcome back, and whenever you want to cut through the hypocrisy of anything, you call Jerry Brewer, who's at the Washington Post, and has written a number of great pieces on college athletics lately, and we talked to him recently, but the latest concerns Kirby Smart. Under the heading, coaching salaries have climbed aboard college football's runaway train. He talks about leaders being concerned about NIL and money, and then here comes another mega contract. Deserved, of course, because of the national championship, but that doesn't stop the rhetoric. Jerry, good to have you on. I know a lot is happening in the NFL. Things are going on all around us, but we appreciate you making time to talk a little bit about not so much Kirby Smart, but just the idea that college administrators are talking out of both sides of their mouth. I know that's that is hardly breaking news. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good to be on with you again, Paul.
So I'm sure there was a lot of reaction to what you said. I think too often people read headlines and go, man, why is Jerry Brewer taking a shot at Kirby Smart? I know you weren't, but let's talk about the other side of this. And that's, you know, the constant rhetoric we hear from coaches every day, especially last week when Nick Saban and everyone else beat the drum about everything is out of control. And then by the end of the week, Kirby Smart was getting his, as you said.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the point, right? Like, the way the system is set up, of course, Kirby Smart, after winning the national championship, is going to reset the market. I mean, that's just the way that it goes. But what I'm saying is, like, with everything that's going on and everything that people complain about, why does the coaches' market get reset so quickly all of the time? And if you're Alabama, if you're Georgia, if you're Ohio State, if you're what Clemson has been, you can play that game. But I start to look at, say, what Michigan State did with Mel Tucker off of one season. Or I even look at – I mean, I know there's a lot of money at Texas A&M, but to poach Jimbo, you gave him a contract that made our jaws hit the floor. And then, what, 3 years into it, you enhance that. I mean, I think that the things that they do, feeling like that's what they have to do to keep this coach or that's what they have to do in this rat race, is absolutely ridiculous. And it kind of reeks of people who it's a lot easier to spend your donors' money that they're giving emotionally than it is to really run a prudent business.
Well, Jerry, it just seems to me you have one guy in particular, and a couple of others play a role in this. These agents that manipulate and emasculate these athletic directors who are not spending their own money. If they were, they might think differently. It's a vicious cycle, because in the Southeastern Conference alone, one guy, Jimmy Sexton, represents 10 coaches. So he goes from one AD to the next, essentially. Blackmail would be a legal phrase, but basically just, you know, forcing them to re-up with their coach, or he'll threaten to take them somewhere else.
Yeah, Jimmy Sexton plays it very well, but I think that's the key point. I just don't think that is athletic directors, and I don't think most of them are very strategic or very smart, and they're ill-prepared to be able to run a college enterprise like a pro enterprise. I mean, they're still trying to apply amateurism rules and just kind of profit off of the exploitation of that. And so then when it comes to this matter and they're afraid to lose their coach, they just do all kinds of ridiculous things that ultimately, in a lot of cases, hamstring these schools, especially when you have a coach who was really just a one-hit wonder or a two-year wonder, and then all of a sudden you have these huge buyouts, and you either have to go back to your boosters and donors and say, hey, you know, what do you want to pay to get this guy out of here? Or you have a situation in which you've got a coach that you know isn't the guy, and you have to give him a year, sometimes even 2 years, to run it into the ground even more.
Jerry Brewer, the Jerry, a lot of things happened this week, but something that caught my eye, and I'm sure it didn't miss yours, was the chatter. Not much happened, but there were some Penn State players talking about unionization. Others are talking about revenue share. This is college athletics, of course. But in the aftermath of what we just got through talking about, how do you think this is going to go when they get a little more steam and they get more meetings with important people, whether it's the Big Ten commissioner or someone else? How are college folks going to be able to shut them down?
I mean, that's a really good question, and it's hard to know because you just don't know who ultimately is the smartest voice or the greatest voice right now or the most reasonable. And they can go to the table knowing in the Austin case, the Supreme Court, just damn near welcomed more of this. And they're essentially telling you that they'll burn it all down if more cases come before them. And so I think that creates this really cautiousness and gives the athletes more power than they've ever had. The question is, how much do they want to push it? And ultimately, I will give for kids who are 18, 19, 20, 23 at the most, I think they are a lot more willing and a lot more idealistic about maintaining certain things than people want to give them credit for. Most of them just want to have a fair shot and then go out there and represent their schools and try to win as much as they possibly can within a system that makes sense. But the fact that the quote-unquote adult leadership has just been so dismissive and so predatory, really, if you want to look at the way they hoard all of the resources, that's when it becomes a problem. And I think if you would sit down at the table and actually talk to the kids and really consider things, I think you could create, at least for a stable model that might last for the next two decades. But if you want a war, you have to acknowledge that this is a war that you're ultimately aren't going to win. And the question just becomes, when do you get a base of college players that just decide is enough, and we'll go to the mattresses on this?
Jerry, finally, I was just thinking as you were talking about the evolution of pro athletes. You know, there was Michael Jordan, who never wanted to upset anyone because he was basically a sneaker salesman. And now you have, whether it's LeBron James or anyone else for that matter, a more outspoken period of time that we're all living through. How much of that do you think trickles down to the players and maybe a result of what you just got through referring to?
I think it's huge. I mean, I think you have to look at the generations that are now coming into play and their mentality. Once again, I use that word idealistic. They're a lot more idealistic about things. I think they're way more fed up. And with that, like, don't play with them. Have a real earnest desire for some solutions, because from my dealings and from what I know and what I read, I think they're just going to be a lot more into just abolishing and just tearing down old traditions and old systems. And so if you want these things not to be on fire all at once, it behooves you to finally say, you know what, there needs to be a shift here. And we can either do it the proactive way, or like we've seen with this NIL free-for-all, we can do it the other way. And lawlessness is not going to benefit anyone. But if you sit down at the table and you try to make something that, once again, is a higher level of fairness, then you might be able to salvage some of the things that we like about college athletics right now.
And then there's the Live Tour, but we'll pick that up another time. Jerry Brewer, thanks so much. It's always great fun to talk to you, and also quite interesting and educational. Be well. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care.
Thank you very much. Jerry Brewer, The Washington Post, on the Kirby contract, and then we got off to the sociological issues of today. Back with more. Your phone call is right around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Let's continue with more phone calls. And Dylan is up next. Hey, Dylan.
Hey, how's it going?
We are doing great.
That's good, man. I called in the other day, and I think Peter Burns was in for you.
Right.
Yeah, I'm just gonna give that man some props. So, you know, it went really smooth for him. I mean, he did an outstanding job. There wasn't nobody calling in, making threats or anything like that. But I called in and we was talking about Kentucky and everything potentially winning the East, which I think is going to happen. How do you feel about that?
Well, I don't agree, but I'm more interested in why you think that is the case.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Well, I've been looking at their schedule, mm-hmm. and everything, and you know they got first couple games is pretty easy, and then they go to Oxford. That's my question mark right there.
Okay. Kentucky has a lot of trap games. The Florida game the second week would make me nervous. At Ole Miss, at Tennessee, at Missouri, Georgia. I see them having a good season. I don't see them getting through that. But thanks for the call. Squirrel is up next. Good afternoon, Squirrel.
Man, I really liked your question for the day. What was your first album that you recall purchasing? And unfortunately, I can't remember the first one I actually purchased. But that first album I ever got was Iron Butterfly. In the God of DeVita.
Oh, absolutely.
And I was like 10 or 11 years old. I got it for a birthday gift from a neighbor kid whose mom was a hippie, and she worked in a record shop. And it had been about 69, I guess, somewhere in that area. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't really into acid rock during that time, and don't really particularly like that album. I remember the song and what have you. Would like to have it now. Probably might be worth a little something. But I used to love to collect my albums back during the day.
Oh, no, that was it's amazing and kind of sad to think about all the time we spent listening to music back then. Let me I don't want to forget this. So today was the day, right?
Today's the last day. I'm officially off the clock. I'm done.
Well,
and it was kind of bittersweet, man. It was a little sad, to be honest with you. Well, made a last call with my son today, and he said, you know, at lunch, how much he enjoyed working with me and everything. That kind of got to me, to be honest with you.
Sure.
And don't want to talk about too much over there or you know, don't want to get emotional or anything.
Well, but we wanted to make sure that we paid tribute. Now, yeah, I can't imagine.
I appreciate that.
It's very difficult.
Yeah. It is. I mean, you know, that's your identity. You know what I'm saying? For 30-something years. But I'm good with it, too, because they were good to me. It was a great company. They took care of me. I'm taken care of. I have no issues to worry about going forward, which is lucky. You know, I'm lucky to be that way. So, again, nothing but good feelings for those guys. And I'll talk about it later on down the road. Okay, but I was really disappointed.
We just want to make sure we do the requisite tribute show to you when you're up to giving us an interview.
I will. But I was really disappointed by AC's big reveal today.
Yeah.
About Jim when he wished the death threat on me or the death wish, you know, years ago. When he's done it two or three times. And when you're amongst family, who takes death threats seriously or death wishes?
Well, I mean, it's the same way with Saban and Jimbo. Nobody took that seriously.
No. Like I said, nothing that he could say can come between Jim and I's friendship. And Jim told me a couple of days ago that he'd have dinner with me next time I come through Tuscaloosa.
Really?
I don't want
to be that guy, like the little brother, but could you anyway get me in on that?
I'll ask.
Okay.
And you can ask if you want to.
I'm
not going to just come on here and make something up.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to barge in, but I've always wanted to meet Jim, and I just feel like that would be a way to kind of move on in and have a friendly conversation.
Will you pick up the tab?
Well, I'll see if I can get the company to buy it.
Sure.
Yeah,
well,
be tough for me to reach into my own wallet, but I've got a company.
I have no problem with it.
Okay.
If Jim agrees to it, then I have no issue with it.
And
so that's kind of between you and him.
Jim can call the shot. He can pick the most economical.
Yeah, he can pick the. Well, I hope he would. I mean, I'm not really super familiar with what's around there other than your game day stuff, you know. But I mean, I want to go to a good place. I don't want to go anyplace.
Well, Tuscaloosa has some restaurants.
Yeah, I want to go to someplace historic too. I want to go to a place that's been there a while. So Jim can pick it out and set it up. I'm free. Thanks for taking my call. Aloha.
Thank you. I don't think the next caller is going to be part of that, but he might be. Legend is next.
Man, the love between those are so touching, boy. Jim and Squirrel. Woo! Boy, I tell you, boy, they got any gayer, I don't know what I'd do. What's up, Paul Feinbaum? What's going on, brother?
We were wondering about you today. We're just sitting around, hanging out, and somebody, I think one of the guys said, where's Legend been?
Well, I just landed in my private plane, Ric Flair like, baby, Rolex wearing, limousine driving. Woo! My shoes are more valuable than Squirrel's house. Just got back from Vegas, baby.
Vegas.
I'm going to move out there next summer, it looks like. Might be moving out there next summer, baby.
Ooh.
Ooh, that's my town, Paul.
Hey, did the Godfather set you up out there?
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Man, the Godfather has taught me so much, man. Danny Sheridan has made...
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
He gave me so much money, I couldn't ever thank him in all my life. He has taught me how to watch the weather, see what surface a team is playing on, see how the quarterback acted at the casino the night before. He has taught me so much, Paul, so much. Godfather, you the man. But, Paul, come on here today with a message for the leprechaun, a message for the con man. The revenge tour cometh. It's getting closer. You can run, con man. You can talk all that trash you want to. Leprechaun, you can rub that magically delicious head of yours and hope another Georgia Bulldog championship pops out. But the revenge tour cometh, baby. The revenge tour cometh. Get ready. It's only a few days away. Will Anderson, Dallas Turner, Jordan Battle, baby. 2-2, Kool-Aid. The Black Hat Posse, baby. The revenge tour cometh. And hell cometh with it, college football. So you damn sure better get ready. Paul, I was thinking about the national champion today. And I was thinking about I haven't given them enough credit. You know, I've seen online where Georgia fans were so upset at Alabama fans saying we was giving A&M more credit than Georgia. And I got thinking about my arrogance and about how I hadn't given the champion his proper due, Paul. And I did some soul searching, and I decided today that it's time to congratulate the national champion, the world champion, Paul. So let me just congratulate myself. Woo! That's right, baby. Three-time Alabama national champion. My trophy case is bigger than the Georgia Bulldog trophy case. The revenge tour come up! And hell cometh with it. Legend friggin' out.
And we will take a short break. Back with the final 90 minutes of the week straight ahead.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Yeah, we are back. It's great to have you here Friday afternoon. And Bob is in Arkansas. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Paul. I want to thank you. I've been a Boomer Sooner fan forever, and I want to thank you for making my summer tolerable because
well,
I love college football, and being an OU fan, I had a drought from January to September, but you make college football year-round.
Well, thank you for saying that. I mean, we do like to do that, and we know there is an audience around the country that enjoys everything else, and you get everything else here, but ultimately the main menu item is college football.
Right, and then if you need to know anything about OU football currently, and I know you know him, is Barry Trammell will shoot you the straights.
I think Barry is truly one of the great local columnists in the country. Know him moderately well. I've met him a few times, and he is always welcome here.
And then I'm so embedded in the Sooners. My great grandfather moved to Norman in 1890, and then my dad wrestled for OU, and instead of taking me hunting or fishing, he took me to every OU football game, basketball game, and wrestling match. So I love college sports.
Well, I've not been there much. I've been to a game at Oklahoma State and OU, and so I feel like I've got a good sample of the state. And I will never forget my only game in Norman, because it was the second, I think it was the second game of the season. It was Alabama and Oklahoma about 20 years ago. And it was, I don't know, 99, 102. I have never, I made the mistake of watching the final quarter on the field because we had to leave quickly. And, you know, I mean, everybody says I've never been that hot, but I've never been that hot in my life.
Well, and then when I was fortunate, I was in grade school with Bud Wilkinson's kids.
Oh my goodness!
Jay and Pat, and then our three kids were the same age as Barry Switzer's kids.
Oh man!
So
when you mentioned Bud Wilkinson, he's a coach that is not well known by the young people of today, but. I mean, during that streak in the 50s, you could have made a case that he was the best coach ever at that moment in time.
Did you know that Notre Dame was responsible for OU's first Heisman Trophy winner?
No.
Because Billy Vessels, I was at that game up at South Bend, and I think that was in 52. And OU lost the game, but I think that was, if I have my history correct, that was the first college televised football game. And and Billy Vessels just had a heck of a game, even though we lost. And so I need to thank Notre Dame for getting OU its first Heisman Trophy winner.
Bob, I'll tell you a quick story. I went to Houston with some friends one night. It was, I think, Saban's, I think it was his second year, or third year. He was up for the Paul Bryan Award. He won it a couple of years ago, and he'd won it at LSU. But they were, for some reason, that night at the banquet, it was a fairly small event. It wasn't like one of these, it was just a small group of people, I think. And they were honoring Barry Switzer. And all of his former players showed up. And you, I mean, the names, I mean, the Heisman Trophy winners, the Selmans. It was an endless stream of the best that ever played during that era. And I was in awe of you know, Billy Sims. I mean, one Heisman winner after another. It was truly remarkable to and they were sitting at the next table from our group. And it was truly an out-of-body experience for a college football fan.
Did you ever hear about the joke that after the Oklahoma-Texas game? By the way, that's been going on since 1900. At the state fair, but OU beat Darryl Royal and the guys again, and they said that I have good news that Darryl Royal had good news and bad news for his players, and he said and the good news is the Selmans. That's the last of the Selmans right now. And the bad news is that Mrs. Selman is pregnant.
That's great. No, it was, I mean, you talk about a famous family. Hey, Bob, you take care of yourself. Thanks so much for the kind words. And let's talk again. Elliot is up next in Ohio. Hey. Hello, Elliot.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call. You come to Columbus, I will take you and I will take Jeff out to dinner. We have a distillery trail here. We have some of the best restaurants in the country. And we have a distillery here that got second place in San Francisco for the best whiskey. So put that on your calendar.
I have only been there. I went up there a couple of years ago to a big event. It was really cool. Some people I know put together an event. They had I was up there with Dave Resnan from the Big Ten Network, and it was supposed to be a debate about who's better, the Big Ten or the SEC. And it just so happened, if you're a Buckeye fan, you'll remember this very well. It was the Sunday after the 2015 game between Ohio State and Michigan State. I believe it was Michigan State, the Ezekiel Elliott team. That I thought was the best college, one of the best college teams ever. And Ohio State lost that day, and the whole town was in mourning. And I mean, I felt badly making fun of the Buckeyes the next night because all my hosts were Ohio State people, and I mean, you know, pretty prominent people, who, you know, names on the building type of people. And I just kind of had to laugh. You know, Alabama went on to win the national championship that year, and Urban stayed home.
Hey, my first album was Kiss Destroyer. And speaking of Kiss, when is Kevin Warren and Greg Sankey going to kiss and make up and get this playoff done? How close are we? And when do you think the
resume is
off?
We need intervention there.
What I don't want is an Ohio State. Let's say a fluke happens and it's Ohio State, Oregon. Who wants to watch that again? Who wants to watch these same teams over and over? It gets boring. We need a playoff.
Well, don't blame Mr. Sankey. He was behind the 12-team playoff. Your guy was the one who wasn't ready for that.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
No, that's true. It's time, though. It's time to sit down and make this happen.
I agree.
Instead of going behind closed.
And I don't want to act like I know. I mean, I know Sankey a lot better than Warren, but Warren, I think, is a reasonable person. It's in his best interest to form to have at least a private conversation and get some of this worked out and quit holding college football back. Now, that sounds idealistic, but I think it could happen. Let's check out Curtis, who is in Tennessee. Hello, Curtis.
Hey, Paul, how you been doing, man?
Curtis, we are doing great.
Hey, look here, Paul. You was talking about the Valor Records. My first one was James Brown.
Ooh.
And look here, I got two Foot Lockers now from when I was in the military and coming that I got a Valor albums. Two Foot Lockers.
So where were you serving at the time?
I was serving in Alabama, in Germany.
Oh wow!
And Virginia.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when you were over in Germany, what was the record you went to when you wanted to get a pickup?
Oh, my record was I would be Al Green.
Al Green?
Al Green. For
oh,
good
my
time.
Goodness, the river.
Yeah, Al Green.
No, I grew up on Al Green in Memphis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Him or B.B. King.
Oh, man, that was a time when he emerged. I mean, at his peak, nobody could sing like Al Green.
Oh, yeah. Now, I tell people that when you look at Teddy Pendergrass didn't come out really to Al Green sit down.
You're right.
Man, yeah, but Paul, I got a question for you. And maybe everybody ain't looking at this the same. I was trying to talk to an Alabama fan about this. You know, I was looking at their schedule.
Okay.
They go to Arkansas. They go to Arkansas. The game after that is the Texas A&M game. The game after that, they come to Tennessee. I told them that's a possibility that they could lose all three of them games.
Now, I want to hear more about this because I had not thought about the Arkansas game, but
because they go to Arkansas.
That's a tough run. I mean, because the A&M game, if A&M beats Arkansas, that's going to be one of the most hype games of all time. And A&M last year didn't hold up, and that's why I think we all took that did not take that game seriously until it was over, but. You've just raised that's a fascinating. Hey, I've never thought about that. I'm gonna have to give you credit to that. That could legit. I mean, Arkansas last year, Alabama played with them and almost blew the game. This Arkansas team's better this year.
That's why I said they could be. My thing is Alabama might. There could be a trap game. That's the way I look at it.
Let me tell you this, Curtis. If Alabama loses all three of those games, Alabama fans are gonna need more than James Brown to get them out of that funk.
Yeah, but I do look at them because I figure, like Jim Ross was there, I think that that Texas A&M game in Tuscaloosa is gonna be a slobber knocker.
Yeah, I cannot wait. That is everybody's got bookmarked.
Right. And then, I feel like there might be so much of a physical game that when they get ready to come to Tennessee, they ain't gonna beat Tennessee. Now, if there's one team that I believe can beat them in that three game stretch, it's Tennessee.
Well, Tennessee can score so quickly that they can be difficult. Hey, listen, Curtis, you continue calling us. That was a fun conversation. We're up against a break. Another hour and change to go on a Friday afternoon. Stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back here on a Friday. You can see the excitement building for the weekend. July coming to an end. That is a pretty exciting for your college football fan. You know what that means. Travis in New York.
Yes.
What's up, Travis?
Hey, Paul, is this Paul, it's great to talk to you. I've been a big fan since I was in school at Northwestern. I listened to your podcast back in 2016. Yeah, so I want to talk to you about my Wildcats, but I want to talk to you about Chick-fil-A as well.
Okay.
You all were talking about Chick-fil-A on the show a few days ago. I fell in love with it when I was teaching down in Tampa. The service is amazing, but I do live back in New York now, so I want to let you know that is one place where the service could be a bit better. There's a Chick-fil-A in Brooklyn by the Barclays Center.
Right.
It might as well be a McDonald's.
Well, but Travis, I saw it. I was in New York 2-3 weeks ago. I saw a Chick-fil-A in Manhattan. I can't remember where I saw it, but the thing about Chick-fil-A that I think is so unique is it feels Southern, but in New York,
yeah,
in Brooklyn, come on. You basically have nobody waiting. New York, the whole art of the New York waiter is to be rude.
Yeah, they might have learned that from you, Paul.
No,
I just wanted, before I go.
You're insulted if you're, especially depending on what part of town you're in. Brooklyn's a little more cultured these days. But when I used to tell people my mother was from Brooklyn, people would sneer at me. Now it's like a badge of honor.
Yeah, that's it's changed. Before I go, I wanted to get your thoughts on my fighting Reese Davises this year. They catch a lot of flack. Somebody from the SEC country was talking about Vanderbilt being, you know, the only team we could stand up to. But I seem to remember us handling Auburn pretty well in that bowl game down there a few years ago.
I do remember that. Yeah.
Thank you, Paul.
Well, no, you can't. If you're not a fan of Pat Fitzgerald, you really don't know anything about college football, the job. And my problem is, and I didn't do it last year because of COVID, but I had to sit in that studio 2 days a week in New York with Mike Greenberg. 1 year that they were on a run, it looked like they were on a run to the Rose Bowl. And, it became quite flat out nauseating to have to listen to him.
Yeah, he loves his cats. The Ohio State game, we played him close in the game day game when I was on campus. And then again in the Big Ten championship.
Travis, I was there that day. That was the year I traveled with game day.
Which one? Game day?
In 2013.
Freshman year on campus, Paul.
I sat with the group late in the show, and then we were talking about the Big Ten versus the SEC.
Paul. Carlos Hyde was hitting women in the offseason, and Urban just found a way to let him play.
Well,
that was the difference in the ball game. Do you remember that?
Well, when you have
200 yards.
When you have sociopathic tendencies, that will happen.
Thanks for letting me call, Paul.
Hey, you be well. Thanks. I didn't just say that about Urban Meyer, did I? I just said tendencies. I didn't call him anything other than that. Not yet. Bill is in West Virginia. Hey, Bill.
Hey, man.
Good afternoon.
How you doing?
We're doing great.
It's good to speak with you, sir.
Thank you.
I had a couple questions on you. Why don't you like West Virginia?
As
a football team.
I didn't realize I didn't, but please educate me.
It's just the way sometimes I see some things you come across, and you're talking about people getting in the SEC or certain conferences, and West Virginia, you just play it off at West Virginia is a no and never has don't stand a chance.
There's a reason they don't stand a chance, because they don't.
Why? We play the SEC teams and beat them regularly.
So what?
I mean, and as far as TV ratings, we have one of the highest, check it for last year, we have one of the top, in the top four, I believe, ratings all year of any game.
Bill, that's great. Congratulations. But there's more to it. I will tell you the reason why the SEC did not want West Virginia 12 years ago, if you want to hear it.
What? Yeah, I'm up for it.
They
bleed blue and gold. I love my team, man. I'm
great.
Sorry. But
I'm happy for you. But the SEC didn't think West Virginia's academic standards met theirs.
Well, I mean, I think their graduation rate on their players is one of the, tops in the country.
Well, that may be true, but that's not exactly.
You got to consider we got a lot of players that stay in school for four years and don't go pro.
Let me give you talk to Joe Manchin. Maybe he can introduce a bill that gets West Virginia in the SEC. We'll take a short break. We're coming right back.